Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so many of us know this morning's gospel as the story of Doubting Thomas. It's too bad that that's what we remember, because many of us then get the message that we're not supposed to doubt when it comes to faith. Well, that is not correct. How many of you remember the Episcopal Church slogan that was on a poster for a while that said, "Don't leave your brain at the door," right? Questioning and wrestling with our faith is a healthy part of a living faith. With the Holy Spirit, we use scripture, tradition, and reason, or our intellect, when we approach our faith. You know, that's that Anglican Episcopal three-legged stool. So the nickname Doubting Thomas is a misnomer. Thomas didn't doubt God. He doubted the report from the other disciples. I mean, when we consider how much those guys got wrong, how often they didn't understand Jesus, how often Peter said one thing and then did the other, Thomas's resistance to believing what they said, well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, maybe he should be remembered as "Always consider your source, Thomas," or "Investigate the facts, Thomas," or "I wouldn't trust them either, Thomas." I mean, let's put ourselves there. Jesus, our friend, our teacher, the person that we're coming to believe as the Messiah, is taken away from us. He's falsely accused, has an illegal late-night trial, is sentenced to death, and is killed by state execution. A slow, painful, and humiliating death. And we're in mourning, and we're in shock, and we're hiding behind locked doors, because if it could happen to Jesus, we might be next. So Thomas, for some reason we don't know, has been outside the locked room and missed the first appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. So, I don't know. You can decide. Is Thomas the one who was foolish enough to leave? Or is he brave enough to leave that safety of the room? Or is he just practical enough to leave the room? But when he comes back, he is presented with, let's be honest, a pretty crazy story. Jesus has just been killed. He's dead. And somehow he came through locked doors to stand among them. People crucified by the Roman government are dead. They don't get it wrong. So not accepting what was said without some kind of proof seems like a reasonable request. So a week later, Jesus appears again, and Thomas gets what he needs. Jesus invites him to touch him, to even touch the wounds he received as he was dying. And there's no grief from Jesus. There's no pushback. Jesus offers Thomas what he needed. Thomas needed to know that this really was Jesus, and he knew by touching him. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and his body still has the wounds of his crucifixion. His resurrected body has the wounds. The resurrection didn't remove those wounds on his body. This is important because it lets us know that when we suffer, when we go through horrible experiences, the ones that remain with us, God is with us, because Jesus suffered and experienced pain as well. and he, the hurt and the wounds remain. We don't have a God who stands at a safe distance from pain. We have a God who's been there and who knows what our pain is like. Jesus' wounds are a significant part of him, like ours are. Even his resurrected body holds the story of his life and death. You know, Thomas needed to encounter the risen Jesus in his own way, and so do we. Now, Thomas's solution isn't available to us today, as Thomas encountered Jesus before he had his bodily ascension into heaven. And Jesus' physical presence on earth came and left. But now we have God's Holy Spirit. That is what remains, and that is what is with us always. Now, there are so many ways to experience God's presence, to be in and with the Holy Spirit. We don't have physically have Jesus with us, but what we have is whom Jesus sent to be with us, God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is present in and around us and in and around each other. The spark of the divine, the Holy Spirit, the essence of God, the source of all love is present and is still at work. You know, we hear Jesus commissioning his disciples, his closest friends, with this work. You know, he breathes on them and he says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And now we, all of us, we're the ones God has commissioned to do this work, this reconciliation of making God's love known, God's forgiveness known, and bringing people back to God today. You know, our faith isn't to be lived exclusively on the inside in our thoughts and our feelings. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." If you're wondering, well, how do I live out this life as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian? Well, we can begin by forgiving the sins of any. You know, we're sent out to do this work, to carry on the forgiving and reconciling work of Jesus. And we're to make known that love, the love of God that Jesus himself made known. We're to release each other and to forgive each other as best as we can so we can get on with the work of sharing God's love and forgiveness with this world. Now, we might need to start by getting rid of some of the feelings that we have internally about ourselves, of being not good enough to do this work. Because trust me, if that ragtag group of disciples were chosen to carry on Jesus' message of reconciliation, well, we certainly are good enough too. Questioning and doubting is a part of exploring and deepening one's faith. And with the risen Christ, our faith continues to develop. We have a living faith, a faith that continues to grow and deepen with a God who is always accessible to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit's presence. You know, there's a last few sentences of our gospel reading this morning that state, "And many things happen that wasn't recorded in this book." Yes. The recording of all the things is the highlights. The resurrected Jesus still meets us today, and that's not recorded in any book. Our faith is alive, and it's alive in our everyday, day-to-day lives. our faith is this amazing reality that God became one of us to show us who God is and how much God loves. Our faith is a living faith with the risen Jesus Christ, who still has the wounds of being human, coming to us just as we need him when we need him. When our lives, our thoughts, and actions are centered on God's love and sharing that love, we are showing forth in our lives what we profess in our faith. With the closing words of this of our gospel this morning, I was inspired to kind of wrap this up with a prayer. So God, help us. Help us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing we may have life in his name. And give us the courage of Thomas to question, and the courage of all the apostles to profess that you are our Lord and our God. Amen.